And it's a great church. We have a great pastor, and we just praise God for you. Now, I think that the mission conference ought to be the greatest, most thrilling services we have of the year, don't you? And one of the great things about it is the Bible says somebody from every tongue is going to be in heaven, 7,000 languages, and I like what they do. So I'm going to ask them to go ahead and sing Amazing Grace. All right, this guy is Spanish. He's from Panama. This guy here, Friday, he's from Zimbabwe. What's the, tell us what the name of your language
Shona.
Is. Shona. All right. All right, tell them what your language is from the Philippines.
Philippines, by the speak Ilocano.
Okay, and you're?
From Togo.
He's from Togo, and your language?
French.
All right, sing for us.
Amen, nous vivons en Kenya, si d'aim tout autre, l'amen, mais n'y est montant la tempe, tout la vade, tout vivit-il l'amen. Di parabur nagsam iten ta in salakanak idi napukawak ngem nasarakanak biaku itana ragsak titi no di sha misa zaka nipo nesa nakangeni singa oni zino nao neswa Por siglos eternos Él será mi amigo abogado mejor. Las alabanzas doy aquí con todo ser y gracias al Salvador.
Amén.
Fun. Amen. All right, the first one we're going to hear from tonight is Brother Carlos from Panama. And Brother Carlos, let me just say this. When he came here for the conferences, he knew no English. And our brother here from Togo started working with him, and in 2 weeks he was given his testimony in English. You can learn English, I'm telling you. And in you'll hear him in just a moment. He told me today when I was telling him about learning English when he first came here, he said, I've preached in 5 different churches in English. Amen. Amen. All right, give your testimony.
Buenas noches, hermanos. Good evening. It is a great blessing for me to be here. Really, really, God has been so good. I am so grateful for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor. Thank to the Lord for health ministry. This brother was in my home, Scotty Drake. It's a blessing for me. He was in my home. My name is Carlos Cabrera. I found my delight of my eyes. In 1995, we have 3 children. The last time I count, 3 children. Mira, let me to tell one. I am grateful because God sent one missionary from Texas. James Thomas Willis and his family came to Panama in 1971. The first family this missionary visited was my family. My mother was safe. All my brother was safe. I was safe. Amen. When I was 7 years old, God called me to preach the gospel. I preached the gospel. I want to study the Bible. I studied the Bible. I start my church 14 years ago. My missionary gave his life for us. Yes. I can to tell you today, I will do the same. I will preach the gospel for the rest of my life. Pray for me, for us. En Jesucristo, fuente de paz, en horas negras de tempestad, Cristo nos dice, siempre os daré gracia divina, santo poder. Gloria cantemos al Redentor, que por nosotros quiso morir, y que en la gracia del Salvador siempre dirija nuestro vivir.
Thank you. All right. God bless you, Carlos. Now, they're going to go to the Spanish church in just a moment. You come on up, Brother Sammy, and from the Philippines, and you take a few moments and tell us about your work, and then you and Carlos are going to go to the Spanish church, okay?
Yes, sir. Good evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for giving me this second opportunity. I was here 2 years ago. I am so glad to be able to come and visit that you're still warm for missions. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 13 years old, and the story of my salvation is just like what we have heard. The seed of the word that has been planted more than 60 years ago in the Philippines through an American missionary keeps multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. My father was saved through that ministry and was challenged to go to Bible college. My father went to be with the Lord 3 years ago, and by God's grace, he was able to establish 10 churches all his life. And when I visited my home province, the eastern side, because I work now in the western side of Northwest Philippines, I found out that he was able to encourage, send to Bible school more than 50 young people. And most of them are now in the ministry. That's how the seed of the word was multiplying from a single lady who joined a couple missionary in the Philippines, American missionaries, 60 years ago. And 1969, I was 13 years old when I was saved. When I got saved, prayer meeting, I realized that I just keep on believing, but I realized I do not have that peace and assurance in my heart because I found out that I have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart as my Savior. There was joy and there was peace since then, the time I received the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord impressed in my heart the desire to serve Him, and I made good my promise to serve Him. After finishing high school, I went to Bible college. The school where I studied, they asked me right away to join them, teach in Bible school, and help other established local churches. But then the Lord called me in the western side. For the past few years, the Lord allowed me to be able to establish 4 churches. Our ministry, the Lord impressed my heart, 3 great ministries, church planting, training nationals, and campus ministry. We have four churches established for the past few years. When I came here, we have our average attendance in our church about something like 105. Now we are averaging 200 in our church. And about Bible school, we had 22 Bible school students when I came here 2 years ago. But it went more than the double. We have 53 Bible school students this time. So praise the Lord, Northwest Philippines was not left in status quo. The Lord is blessing the ministry. And the room in our small church is not enough, so the Lord has blessed us to start a big building worth several million by faith. It was started and it's still rough, but my wife said they transferred to that building 2 weeks ago. And we have, praise the Lord, we have some independent Bible-believing fellow preachers who volunteered themselves to help me train these young people, including my eldest son, because my two sons finished their Bible training last year, and the elders helped me now. We have 9 teachers helping me train the nationals. And I want you to pray for that ministry because it's growing. We have a university campus ministry reaching 200 Bible school university students and 400 secondary students, high school students. We have a great ministry in Northwest Philippines, and I appreciate if you can pray with us, join us with that ministry, praying for us and supporting us, and God, I will appreciate that, and we'll be grateful, and God will bless you for that. Thank you very much.
Amen. All right, God bless you, Sammy. All right, we praise God. Brother from Togo, Brother Patalo, you come. All right, from Togo. All right, you fellas, go on to the, you know, don't lose your way. All right. All right, brother.
Good evening, brethren. I want first of all say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ who allowed me to be here, and especially thank God, the pastor, who allowed me to be in sacred pulpit to share what God is doing in Togo with you. My name is Pitala Piwisuwe. It's difficult to know how to pronounce it, but Piwisuwe means jealous. If you cannot remember Piwisuwe, you can remember Piwisuwe like jealous. You know, I was saved when I was 17 years old. I have never heard about Jesus Christ in my life until 17. I was born in idol worshiping family. I'm from the middle north of Togo. We have mountains and stones. Not only in idol worshiping family, my father was married to 4 wives in the same time, the same house. My mother was the youngest one. You know, he has 3 wives in the north. He came down to the south looking for a job. Then that's where he met my mother. My mother was not aware about the 3 oldest women. When she got pregnant, then they came down to say, "You will leave the house." I was the one she was having. Because I am the firstborn of my mother, my father has 19 children. Then, and I am the 15th one among the 19. Then my mother was not able to stay in the house. She would go and hide herself somewhere just to keep me. But I believe that God has kept me there for a purpose he has for my life. God has a purpose for each one of us. And then it will come to fulfill. Because when that was happening, I have never enjoyed peace, happiness, joy, nothing. Nobody loves me in the family. But I have one teacher. I was in the middle school. I have a teacher. The teacher is a pastor also. I didn't know that he was a pastor. But he was so interesting to me. He came to me every time to invite me to, "You are not happy. I need to help you." But one time I said, "Okay, this guy, I want him to leave me in peace." Okay, I decided to go to his church to let the matter finish. But when the day I decided, God also decided to do something. Amen. Then I went, he was preaching. That's my first time also to enter church room. Oh, I was sweating. All my body, I was trembling. I said, "What is happening in this room?" He mentioned Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord." That verse God used to speak to my heart. God really touched me that day. Then I came forward. I said, God, help me. He helped me. You know, what my father was doing, he has stone for each one of his children. I have my stone. I have the 15 stone. Then every year, he will use blood of fowls and goats and pour the blood of these animals, asking that this stone is a link between me and my forefathers. They believe in reincarnation. Then I am representing one of my forefathers. Then the stone is a link to ask protection. But Jesus set me free. Jesus broke. He set me free. You know, the Bible says when the Son set you free, you will be indeed free. I am free. My life has been changed. Oh, brethren, I'm telling you that only Jesus can set you free. Only Jesus has eternal life. You know, they think that there is life in the blood of goat, in the blood of fowl. I believe there is life in the blood. But there is not eternal life in the blood of goat. Jesus has eternal life. When Jesus saves you, he will give you eternal life. God so loved the world. God so loved. God is only that can love really. He loves me and give me eternal life. I have a Redeemer. I am proud to say it. I'm proud to preach the name of my Redeemer. He saved me. I served him 30 years. I served him in the church as a deacon. And then work in a soul winning ministry for my church several years. Then when I reached 30 years old, God sent help missionaries to Togo through the conference they have. They say the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God take hold of my life. I am one of his laborers. I surrender everything to him. Amen. I thank God when God called me. He gave me a beautiful lady I married. She was the lady of my pastor. The man who led me to Christ, my pastor, is my father-in-law. God's ways are not our ways. God knows where he'll put you to use you. If you are available, you know, availability is what is important. You know, we worship God, but most of us, we are not available for God. Those that will be available, they will be instrument in the hands of God. Amen. I went to Bible school, you know. Here, I want to thank God for Pastor, because when God called me to go to Bible school, he sent me on a scholarship to come to Landmark. But God was not opening the door for me. And then I went to Bible school in Ghana, where I came back in Togo in 2007. Now I have one church. God is working through me. My mother is saved. She was the one I baptized first in my ministry. Two of my brethren, please pray for me. There is a challenge for me. But I know whom I believe. He will take care of the challenges. Pray for me. I have 15 young people I'm training in my church for the sake of establishing fundamental independent Baptist churches. You know, Togo is almost 6 million people involved in idol worship like my family. And then the main religion is Roman Catholicism. We have Jehovah Witnesses, cults. They are there. Now the Muslims also are working hard. But we need your prayers to be able to stand firm against all these things and to preach the truth. We have the truth. We need to preach the truth, the gospel. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I am called to reconcile sinners to God. Brethren, that is our ministry. He said, I have given you that ministry. Oh, brethren, if you are called, don't delay it. The time is short. Jesus is coming soon. We need to be busy for the Lord. Brethren, I love you in Christ Jesus. May God bless you.
Man, that's good preaching. Not only that, he had something to say there. You know, we go back to the missionary story of sometime we're guilty of limiting God, but look where he reached in there where they believed in the animals and the reincarnation and all of that. And then look how many preachers and servants are coming out of that home. And what he said there, the young people he's working with and those that he's getting out there to serve God. Folks, the truth of the matter is the scripture's still right. The fields are still white under harvest. And the laborers are few. There's no doubt about it. And God is calling laborers into the harvest. And we see that. What is so good about these missionaries coming in off the field to share with us. Listen, they're not doing it on the field by might and power or organization or money or education. They're doing it by the power of God. That's what it amounts to. So we need to understand that. And what a blessing it is to my heart. We've given for years to missions. And we've worked hard here. But to bring the mission field to us and to see what God has been doing over there is so powerful. Somebody said that you can't bring the world to Christ. But I tell you what we can do. We can take Christ to the world. And that's our job, to give, to send. And the blessing that helps ministries has been to get some of these men over here to let us kind of see the fruit, so to speak, of what has been going on for years and years. And that's what we are able to see in our mission conference. And it's just a really, really personal blessing to me as a pastor. I don't need to tell you I'm getting closer to the end than I was when I started. And it's good to look back on the trail and see some lasting things that God has done. And one of the earliest things we started here when I came to the church, it's a little group of people, is we started giving to missions. And somewhere around here in the archives somewhere, there's still a picture of me with the first mission gauge up. The first goal was $1,000. And it was around Christmas time. And I was pointing to that $1,000 and trying to encourage all of us to give to make it. I'll never forget it. That was our start. And we made it. We'd also started the bus ministry, which is a home mission project. And we were filling up one or two buses, and we needed some more. I'll never forget, we raised that $1,000, went over it just a little bit. And the old devil got on my shoulder, and he said, you know, you could buy a bus for that much money. You could buy maybe two, the kind you use. Of course, we raised it for missions, and that's where it went. But it was so interesting that very week, a man was visiting our church pretty regular, later became a great member of it. But he was not a member, I don't believe, right at the time. He come to me, and he said, Brother Mickey, how would you like to have some more buses? I said, oh, I'd love to, but we can't afford them. We ain't got no money. He said, oh, he said, I'll give them to you. And he said, I'll pay the lawyer to fill out the titles on them. Boy, didn't God kind of rebuke me. I was thinking about buying one bus for $1,000. I think he gave me three. I believe it was three. I mean, I've seen God do that so much. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. As I come down to the tonight, my faith is challenged again. Because I didn't see the gauge over there, and I had them check it out tonight, and we're $200,000 less than what we were able to give the last two or three years on our gauge. That's a lot. Now, I'm on level with you. Remember last year when we filled out the cards? It didn't come in. But I said, by faith, we're not going to change the gauge. We're going to leave it up. Now, it looks like that we're missing it pretty bad. I don't know, but here's what I do know. There's five more opportunities. Well, counting today would make five. because we haven't counted this morning's offering yet. They'll be bringing in the cards here after a little bit. So we've got today, and we've got to watch night service. So I believe that's five times that we still have the opportunity to give toward last year's goal. And so it's my hope. It's my hope that we'll still see a miracle. Boy, it will be a miracle. It is short. It is short. And I'm going to give you the honest truth as I've analyzed it, prayed about it, and thought about it. We've had a lot of giving families in the last 2 years going to heaven. Really have. We've had some move off. We've some had some hurt by the recession. And it has hurt in a lot of ways. I understand all that. So I can tell you how it happened or how the devil was able to use some things to make that happen. But at the same time, I'm trusting God to do what he will do in our hearts, and that we'll still all give as extra as we can, as much as we can. And I still want to see this goal come up from last year. Now tonight, in just a little while, we'll have somebody come in with a total of the cards. And we'll see as close as we can to get a guess for next year. And we'll see on watch night service how much yet we have to go on the gauge up here. Now folks, it's not just a gauge. It's not just talk. If we miss it, there'll have to be some cutting done somewhere. There's no doubt about that. There will have to be. But I'm going to wait to the last minute, to the last amen, to the last time that the offering plate is passed. This may be the two-minute drill coming down on the end here that we're going to trust God for. Amen? And I'm praying that that's going to happen. Here's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to stand. If you're here and you're unsaved, you can come to the altar. We'll take our Bible and show you how you can be saved, like some folks got saved this morning. But here's what I really want you to do tonight, too, as God's people. We're going to have an invitation song. But the invitation song is going to be this, that we all go to the Lord in prayer. Come to the altar, stay in your seat, whatever God would lead you to do. You know, the scripture talks about if two or three will gather and agree. And I want us to agree that, God, we are asking that you give through us. You give from somebody we don't even know. Lord, you do any way you want to. But we're praying for our mission goal. We're praying for last year's to be finished. We're praying for the new year. And that's what I want the invitation to be tonight. And we heard the mission story of the impossible. One little boy, but God used him to reach so many. Missionaries gave their lives, but God was not through reaping those benefits. And then you've heard from the missionaries tonight, and heard from them this morning, to see what God does.